This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Brown versus Board of Education, a case that originated in Kansas, was not the first effort by black parents to get the U.S. Supreme Court to desegregate America's public schools. As Day to Day producer Christopher Johnson reports, an earlier case that later was bundled together with Brown to go to the Supreme Court began in Somerton, South Carolina.
Ophelia Delane Garner remembers that in the 1940s, blacks who were on Main Street in Somerton, South Carolina, when it started to get late, had to leave.
People would be in town until the siren blew at 9 o'clock at night, and I think that it really meant all black people go home.
Garner grew up in Somerton, the only daughter of Reverend Joseph Armstrong Delane, or J.A. Delane. On a recent Sunday morning, over a simple country breakfast at the Somerton Diner, Ophelia talks easily about her father.
He was a true teacher. And I was asking a man the other day about what he thought was so great about Daddy, and he said, well, Reverend taught us.
In fact, in the 1940s, Reverend Delane was a teacher. When he wasn't ministering at churches around Somerton, Delane taught at some of the schools for black children in the area. Those schools were separate from, but far from equal to, the schools that whites attended. The white school children got 60% of the county's school money, even though blacks outnumbered whites in Clarendon 3-1. Reverend Delane was sure he could help the black parents fix the poor conditions of their children's schools. After all, Ophelia says, Delane was a man who could relate well to many of the blacks living in rural Clarendon County.
Daddy was a country pastor, and he was frank, he was candid. He didn't believe in putting on airs. He was one who could rub shoulders with kings and common men.
Reverend Delane had tried before to help a common man, a Clarendon County farmer named Levi Pearson. Pearson had wanted the county to pay for his children's school transportation. He asked for Delane's help. Delane was the founder of Clarendon County's branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. And that organization helped Pearson get a lawyer. But in 1948, his case was thrown out on a technicality. Delane was frustrated, but undeterred. A year after the Pearson case, in the spring of 1949, Reverend Delane met with Pearson and other Clarendon blacks in Columbia, South Carolina. Thurgood Marshall, one of the NAACP's top lawyers, was there. He wanted to press for full equality for black schools. After that meeting, Delane returned to his home in Somerton and looked for more parents to join the new case. He got help from Harry Briggs Sr., who lived right down the road from Delane. Briggs' oldest son, Harry Jr., offers a tour of the old family home.
Here's my sister's bedroom. She was the only girl. And now this was the bathroom, but we didn't have no facility in it.
Harry Briggs Sr. built this house with his own hands. It was originally all wood. Now the outside is bricked in. Inside, old family photos cover the living room walls. Harry Sr. and his wife, Eliza, raised five children here.
They were good mother and father. They work hard. My mother worked at a motel right there. My father was a guest, a station attendant. And they worked their life off. And we still had a little farming.
Harry Briggs Sr. worked the fields just outside his house, and his home was less than a quarter of a mile away from the nearest black school. Unlike in the Pearson case, transportation wasn't an issue for the Briggs children. But Delane asked Briggs and other Clarendon parents to sign a new petition. Delane wanted Clarendon's Board of Education to give black children the same quality of schooling white students were getting. Harry Jr. says 20 Clarendon parents, including his father, put their names on the final petition.
He stood up to his word. So I'll give him credit for that. He stood up to his word. He would have been a coward if he'd said, no, I'm not signing that.
It was courageous for Harry Briggs Sr. and the other parents to sign that final petition. They were approaching an all-white school board and demanding equal treatment for their children. Harry Briggs Sr. had his name at the top of that petition. Whites around Somerton found out about that petition in late 1949. And the Briggs family was one of the first to suffer during a subsequent period known as the squeeze. That's when white merchants and landowners put pressure on blacks to disassociate themselves from the equalization case. Harry Jr. lights a cigarette and takes a slow, thoughtful drag as he recalls his father's fate.
They told him also, take your name off the petition. He didn't do it. No, they fired him. So after firing from the service station up there, he come and trying to make a living doing a little farming. Why is supposed to get so dirty down here? Now they won't sell him the seed, the fertilizer, the fertilizer crop.
The squeeze forced Harry Briggs Sr. to leave his family and go to Florida to find work. His wife Eliza was fired from her job at the motel. Reverend Delane lost his job as principal of the local black high school. His home was burned down, and he left Somerton for many years. Delane's daughter Ophelia remembers other blacks who were attacked for supporting the case.
Mary Oliver, she signed the petition and was unable to get deliveries made. And Hazel Reagan was a house painter and very highly thought of. He suddenly had no more business.
But they never withdrew their names. Thurgood Marshall later took that petition and filed it as a suit at the Federal District Court in South Carolina. The case, Briggs versus Elliott, was brought against the school board of District 22, including Chairman Roderick Elliott. It was thrown out before it went to trial. But Marshall was determined. He rethought his strategy and changed the petition from a request for equal schools to a suit asking for full desegregation. The case lost, but Marshall persisted. Twice he appealed the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And finally, in 1952, the High Court wrapped Briggs and four other desegregation cases into one. The court named that case Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka. On May 17, 1954, the Supreme Court handed down the Brown decision, declaring that separate educational facilities are inherently unequal. The parents in Clarendon County had finally won. Harry Briggs Jr. says he's grateful for the Brown decision, but at that time, the victory was bittersweet for Harry Sr. and his family.
He's won, but how could we make a living? They won't give him a job. They will never let me make no money here. The name Harry Briggs won't get no job.
Still, Harry Briggs Jr. appreciates the sacrifice his parents made. He was recently in Somerton for a celebration recognizing the families that supported the Briggs case. He noticed a sign honoring their efforts and his family's name right in the middle of town.
Welcome to Somerton, Briggs vs. Elliott. You've never seen that before. I feel proud.
For Day to Day, I'm Christopher Johnson.
And thanks for help on that story to Day to Day editor Alicia Montgomery. You can see Christopher's pictures from Somerton at our website, npr.org.